Hell yeah. It is Classes of Mail time. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here once again with Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everyone.
All right. Oh, it's still playing in the background a little bit. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, that's fine. We'll let that run all the way to the label. So anyway, we have won again. That is why we are here today, because we won yet another appeal, this time to the National Committee on Appeals. So let me, this runs for quite a while. Okay, that's the end of it. Let's get the end. Yeah, that's the end. Okay. All right. So anyway, we won the National Committee on Appeals, saw things our way. So let me give you some buildup to here. I know you've been following along, but just for reference, this is about our tainted election, where the good old boys, specifically our branch president, paid no heed to the rules governing branch election procedures and just did everything himself, even though he was a candidate, and that's not right. So as soon as the election was over, our team, me, Michael, and Jonathan, filed an appeal challenging the results of the election.
And so did the third team, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The other team filed the appeal, too, right, because mm-hmm. there were two sets of opposition candidates. Mm-hmm. The other team filed an appeal, too. We filed this to our election committee, which is made up of just members of our branch. Mm-hmm. And our appeal, the appeal that I wrote, won the day by a vote of 5-1 or 6-1 or something like that.
Right.
Whatever it was, right? We won that appeal. And so then the executive board, headed by our president, filed an appeal of the election committee's decision.
Yeah, by the way, what we won was redo the
election. Oh, yeah. That's a good call. Right. We wanted the election completely redone, including nominations, all the way back to the beginning. Dude, right. Good call. Thank you. All right.
That's important.
The people who were in office, the established people, they didn't like that. Mm. So they filed an appeal to themselves that goes to the executive board that said, yes, we'll rerun the election, but we don't want to redo nominations. And amazingly, the appeal that the president filed to his executive board was sustained. And so they overturned the decision of the election committee and put in their own decision that we would only rerun the election, only rerun the voting. So then I appealed that, along with a few other people, to the branch and said, hey, this is not right. We have these reasons that we need to redo the nominations also. That went to the branch, and that one we won 52-23. Yeah, more than a two-thirds majority.
And we did that where we did the full re-election with the nomination.
Right. And
be overseen by national.
Yep, that's exactly right. So that this can't happen again. Right. So that we have somebody in there looking over the whole thing and making sure that we don't screw it up.
Yeah, because our president is not honorable doing the election correctly.
No, and he openly says, well, this is the way we've always done it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think there's anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it sounds like he'll do it again.
Yeah, exactly. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. So yeah, that's what the branch agreed to, 52-23.
Mm-hmm.
So that's now 2 out of 3 appeals that have gone our way. The only appeal that didn't go our way is the one that the president essentially appealed to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, imagine that. And now we get to appeal number 4, where the president's...
He ignored the branch's decision.
The will of the branch, right. Yes. The branch spoke. The branch spoke clearly. Mm-hmm. So he said the branch is wrong, and we're going to appeal to the National Committee on Appeals. So not the president, mm-hmm. but 4 of his officers filed appeals seeking to overturn the will of the branch, sent that up to the National Committee on Appeals. And then it's an important thing to remember.
Yeah.
The branch has spoken. So the mm-hmm. branch gets to reply and
on those people's appeals.
Yeah, a reply to those people's appeals. Because those people are trying to overturn the branch.
Right.
And so the branch gets to put their argument in front of the National Committee as well.
Right.
And you guys may recall an episode where I was especially pissed off because, Michael, who decided that they would speak for the branch?
That would be our president.
Our president. The person who opposes the branch's position.
And who was it that I said, no, you need to send one, Alan?
Yeah. Michael talked me into sending one myself. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if I could do that because it has to go through our branch secretary.
Do it anyway.
And he said, do it anyway. And dude, I am so glad.
Because the letter says, when you do it,
we'll get to it.
Read the letter?
Yeah, we'll get to it in just a sec. So Yeah, so the president, as you know from listening to this podcast, I got my hands on what the president wrote trying to represent the branch, and he totally threw the branch under the bus. And I read that to you. What a disaster that was. So I wrote my own branch response, which wound up being accepted by the Committee on Appeals, which is fantastic. And I got a letter from Renfro saying that they should accept it and that the president's reply is out of order. And the other day, we got, by certified mail, we got our decision. And the decision is that the appeals are denied, which means that we win. Because they were trying to overturn the branch's decision. That got denied.
Yep.
So we carried the day.
Yep.
So we have now won this argument 3 out of 4 times. And the only time the president won it is when he appealed to himself. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So good job us.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, the good old boys, they have got to be tired of losing all these arguments. And you got to wonder what they're thinking down there.
Now they're thinking that they're going to try to make it to delay it. So they can send this decision to convention, probably. And this is my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but they're probably going to try to say, oh, we're going to appeal it to the convention and delay the re-election again.
Yeah, this is our next concern.
Yeah.
Because the appeal, you know, it's already been delayed. And the president has said openly that he's going to appeal it all the way to the convention if he has to.
Mm-hmm.
And he has also said that we're not running the re-election until the appeals are complete, which, of course, serves him because then he would stay in his position for another year and a half.
Right.
Until we have the next national convention.
So let's say, and then we do a re-election. Let's say I win. Well, I only stay for, 6 months?
You're right. Exactly. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
No. And, of course, that's why. So this is the next thing that we're concerned about. And so we have documentation that tells us pretty clearly that we need to do this now right away. And I want to go over some of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe one of the letters actually says
that. One of the letters does say, as soon as you get the decision of the Committee on Appeals,
you have to do the re-election. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about the anatomy of a successful appeal. One of the things that I have not done yet on this podcast is actually read what I said to the branch that got them to agree to rerun the whole election. And so I'm going to go over that here because this is ultimately what held the day when it got to national. Okay, so here is my appeal. And I want to point out that while I am the primary writer of this, this is very much a team effort. It's ideas that came from Michael, research that Michael did. It's ideas that went into the other opposing slate's appeal. And it's ideas from the superhero who we've talked about on this podcast before. So it's kind of all of us working together. And then I'm the one who said it, who wrote it all. And I'm the one who said it in front
because
of the branch.
Because Alan is very articulate.
Right. I'm the better speaker. You know,
that's why he was a teacher, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Dude, earlier today I was listening to another podcast and there was a guy on there who had like the proper radio voice that sounded so silky and gorgeous. And it made me think like, I have a decent voice for doing this, but that is the difference between like, that's what you do for a living. Like that guy does professional, like commercial voiceover work and stuff. And there's a big difference. Hearing that guy, it's like, oh my God.
Well, that's why this is not your main job.
No, that's right. That's why I put mail in the box. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, so here's what I wrote to the Committee on Appeals that caused them to see things our way. To the Committee on Appeals.
Little warning. It might be a little bit long.
It might be a little bit long. Yes, settle in. You could probably see how long this episode is. We don't know yet how long it's going to be, obviously. And Michael, feel free to interject.
And how many pages?
This is 6 pages, but I put it in big type so I can read it.
So I'm just giving you a warning that it'll be 6 pages.
Yeah, that's fair. But man, it's riveting. Okay.
Say something.
You're already interrupting.
Yeah. So I may do that again.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. To the Committee on Appeals, I am writing to represent the position of the members of Branch 2502, pursuant to the appeals rules found in the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures, specifically Section 21.43. So this is the part that gives me the right to make this argument. Before I get into my arguments, I should note that the committee may have in its hands another, quote, reply, end quote, from Branch 2502. That would be the one from our president. If such a reply exists, it is a sham, written by our branch president in an attempt to sidestep the will of the branch. In our January 2025 meeting, the members of Branch 2502 voted 52-23 to sustain my appeal to rerun our elections from the beginning. This appeal overturned the decision of the executive board, which was written by Branch 2502 president, redacted. So that laid the foundation that, you know, hey, you might get this other... And it was indeed a sham reply, and it gets addressed in the ruling, which we will read a little later. Moving on. The appeals being sent to the Committee on Appeals, hoping to overturn the will of the Branch 2502, come from other members of our executive board. None of them were written by Branch 2502 President Redacted, so that President Redacted could then take up the task of writing the branch's rebuttal to the national level appeals. I know it's a little confusing. The timeline below should add some clarity. And I'm actually going to skip that part because we just kind of went over the timeline anyway. Okay. And then the last thing in the timeline is that President Redacted then appoints himself to write the branch's response to these appeals. Because I wrote the appeal that was sustained by the election board and by the branch, I have decided to write the response of the branch pursuant to 21.43 so that the will of the branch may be fairly represented. What follows below is the appeal that was heard by the members of Branch 2502 at the January General Meeting. Their vote to sustain this appeal represents their democratic will. Okay, now we get into my argument. I don't think there's anybody who would claim that our election was run properly. The election chair actually resigned just before the election. People on the election board didn't even want to count the votes because they knew the election was tainted. After the election, I personally filed an appeal to the election board asking for a complete rerun of the election from the beginning. The election board members just like you read my appeal and accepted it. The arguments you'll hear from me tonight will largely mirror the arguments I made right after the election. Arguments I made to the people who were paying the closest attention to what was going on. The election board. People just like you. They agreed the entire election needed to be rerun. It would be foolish to go back and only fix some of the errors. It would be foolish to address only some of the improprieties. Because they knew that if we don't fix these things ourselves, the Department of Labor will step in and fix them for us. We don't want that. So let's talk about some of the things that went wrong. We all agree that the voting needs to be redone. Even the branch president, whose appeal I seek to overturn today, feels that the improprieties in our election were severe enough to warrant a rerun. I will address those improprieties, but I won't linger on them. One, our branch bylaws and the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures say that the election board is supposed to, quote, conduct and supervise all aspects of the election, end quote. Our president and the election chair he appointed never even convened the election board. The election board never had a meeting, never made a ruling, never provided oversight. All they did was count the votes. Instead, all the things you're going to hear about tonight were done by people acting on their own without proper authority. So I'm going to pause there because at this point, the investigative committee had not done their work yet, the one that we had to get from National. All this shit was proved true. And the president admitted to this shit in front of the branch. But that night at the meeting, when I'm reading this appeal to the branch, did they take issue with it? And they did not want me talking about this stuff because I think they know how damning it sounds when you really put it out there. All right. So number two,
So this was read after the votes on, after the investigators did the thing. So
no, this was read,
right?
At the January meeting, which was...
Oh, that was the other...
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. This is before that, because that happened at the February meeting.
Yeah.
And
that was the committee appeals when it was for us.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this was the same night that... No, this was not the night we got railroaded. We got railroaded at the following meeting. Mm-hmm. Dude, what a mess.
Yeah.
More on that probably in another episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, the branch contracted with... redacted printing to print and mail our ballots. This was done without the consent of the election board and without the consent of the branch. Even worse, according to the invoice that was handed out at our December meeting, and then I held up the invoice, the ballots were ordered by branch president Redacted. Not only is he not on the election board, he was a candidate in the election. There are very good reasons why candidates are not supposed to be in charge of running their own elections. 3. Many of the ballots were sent out pre-sorted standard. They are required in the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures to be sent out first class. None of the ballots had return postage. That's also required in the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures. A shocking number of extra ballots were ordered. In an audit conducted after the election by Treasurer Redacted, a shocking number of those extra ballots were missing. This is where, according to my recollection, the branch secretary really started like stepping in and saying, hey, whoa, let's not talk about this stuff. And this is part of my appeal, mm-hmm. you know, and we fought back and forth. Now, do you remember when the president was defending himself against the charges and he was standing up there saying stuff? How many times did we interrupt him?
Never.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Never. We let him say his piece because we're better than them.
Yep. But all when right. you talk, yeah. they interfere with you constantly.
Least, yeah. Yeah. Every chance they mm-hmm. get. They're stopping me. They're interrupting. And
even
so
when
on.
The membership says, you guys need to shut up and let him talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when the membership says, they still want to butt in.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 4, completed ballots. Your votes were picked up multiple times from a secure P.O. box. The NALC regulations governing branch election procedures, and by the way, every time I'm saying the regulations, I'm holding up the book that has those regulations, says, quote, candidates or observers should be encouraged to view the sealing of the ballot box and placing of the ballot box in a secure location. Don't tape it up and stick it in an unlocked file cabinet or a file cabinet to which members or staff people have keys, end quote. Not only did they not tape up the ballot box to prevent tampering, they stored the ballots right here in the Union Hall where candidates could access it. I think you get the idea. I'm going to move on to the nominations since that's what we're really here to debate. The NALC, and that was another thing that was proved out, by the mm-hmm. way, in the investigation, was, yeah, they didn't keep the ballots secure at all.
Not at all.
Dude, what a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. The NALC regulations governing branch election procedures list 3 ways branch members can be notified of upcoming nominations. 1, direct mailing of the notice. 2, publication of the notice in the postal record. If it's in the postal record, it goes into a special section that's printed on different colored paper so it's easy to find and people won't miss seeing it. Or 3, publication of the notice in a mailed branch publication. Technically, we don't have a branch publication. Our state newsletter serves that purpose in intent and appearance. The NALC regulations governing branch election procedures goes on to say if you do publish in a branch publication, quote, the notice must be published on the front page in a conspicuous position, end quote. It also says, quote, those branches that decide to publish the notice in a branch newspaper, remember that notification must be on the front page and prominent. It should be clearly visible at a casual reading. A notice buried in the middle of an article is not adequate. Placing the notice on the front page as a separate item in large conspicuous letters fulfills the intent of the law. We'll talk more about the intent of the law in a minute. For now, let's look at our notification. It was published in the bottom right corner of page 5. And then I held up the paper that showed it. It looks just like another classified ad. You may hear arguments that we don't have a branch publication. And I'll grant that. But we are supposed to have one. In our branch bylaws, Article 6, Section 1A says that the president shall, quote, appoint the editor for the branch newsletter from the elected officers, end quote. But even though it's in our bylaws, our president hasn't fulfilled this duty. So the state newsletter serves as our de facto branch publication. Luckily, the NALC Constitution allows for publication of the notice in a state newsletter, but it doesn't say how we're supposed to publish it. It doesn't need to, because it says how in the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures. Now, let's move on to the intent of the law. Here is the intent in the Department of Labor's own words. I took this off their website. Publication of the notice in a union newspaper is considered adequate notice if the newspaper is mailed to the last known address of each union member and if the union can reasonably expect this form of publication to bring the notice to the member's attention. A conspicuous front page notice would normally satisfy this requirement. On the other hand, a notice published among and indistinguishable at a glance from classified advertisements would normally not be considered reasonably calculated to inform all members. At the very least, the front page should contain a conspicuous item alerting the member to the notice contained elsewhere in the paper. So, on that note, we're going to have to do these notifications over again. And so I reached out to, who's the National Secretary Treasurer, the lady who's, you know, Nicole Rhine. So I sent an email to her because she writes articles in the Postal Record about election questions. And I asked her about this issue because it is a gray area. And she wound up forwarding my letter to Paul Barner. And Paul Barner called me to talk to me about it. And what Barner said was that it is a gray area. It's not specified what has to be done in the branch publication. But he said that the Department of Labor has not, like I told him, I couldn't find any presidential rulings on it. And so he said that because the Department of Labor has not stepped in and made a ruling on this issue, that the president didn't want to make a ruling on it either, because if he makes a ruling and it goes against what the Department of Labor says, now we have problems. And so they're playing it coy and just letting it lie. But he said, to be on the safe side, you really should put it on the front page. And if for some reason you can't, then you should put a notice on the front page that says, like, turn to page 5 for the election announcement, which is actually what they do in the Postal Record. They put a thing right on the front page that says election announcements, page 82 or whatever. So that was what Barner recommended to me. All right. So anyway, moving on. Our announcement did none of these things. The law intends that people be given every opportunity to nominate and to be nominated. If we don't fix this, the Department of Labor will. The message from the Department of Labor is clear. So let's get back to our own rule book. Quote, if branch bylaws provide that certain officers will be convention delegates by virtue of their office, the notice must inform the membership of this provision.
Now, here's the must.
Yeah, it says must. Right, and that's the next thing I wrote in all caps, must. Mm-hmm. So this is just so that you're clear listening to this, because I know reading it may not always hit. Our branch officers are automatic delegates to the state convention and to the national convention. At least the president, I don't know if all the officers are, but at least a number of them are. The president, vice president, and executive vice president.
Yeah, just those three.
Yeah. And so that wasn't listed in the notification. And it says here that it must.
Must.
Yeah, so that's the last word here, must. We have stewards in attendance tonight who deal with must all the time. But you don't have to be an expert in contractual language to know what the word must means. Our branch officers are automatic convention delegates. The notice didn't say so. So what happens now? Do they get to be delegates or don't they? If we let the notice stand as is, we're going to have that fight at some future branch meeting. Or we can just fix it and run the nomination process again. It would be crazy to go back and fix some of the errors in our election, but not fix all of them. If we don't fix them, the Department of Labor will. Before I close, I want to bring up one more issue with our nominations. And then I had some rulings from the Department of Labor that I don't want to read here, but they're basically ruling after ruling that shows that if somebody gets inappropriately denied the chance to be nominated for a position, it fouls the whole election because you've denied people's democratic right. So I read a few of these and then back to my speech. I'm sure you see the pattern. During our nominations, a candidate for steward was nominated from the Garside station. He wasn't at the meeting, but he had submitted a written acceptance of his nomination. President Redacted disqualified that candidate on the spot because his letter didn't indicate that he hadn't been in management for at least 2 years. No attempt was made to contact the nominee. He was simply disqualified. Here's the thing. The NALC regulations governing branch election procedures doesn't give that authority to the president. It gives that authority to the election committee. Quote, the recording secretary should promptly give the newly formed election committee a list of all nominees for all offices. The first task of the election committee is to determine the eligibility of these nominees. And that's Rule 8.1.
Actually, their first task is to meet, a first meeting is to go over the rules of the election.
Yeah, sure. There's a bunch of stuff that they can do right off the beginning, but this is what it says in 8.1. Like, as soon as the committee's formed, one of the things they do right away is to make sure that the nominees are eligible. That's exactly right. It's not the president's job. Okay, and that ends, and then I went on to implore the branch to sustain my appeal and to have somebody from National oversee the election. And they voted 52-23 to sustain that appeal. So good job, good guys. In my letter to the National Committee on Appeals, instead, I write, members of the committee.
So now this is the actual letter that he sent to the Committee of Appeals.
Everything that I've read so far is this that letter, yeah.
Is that letter?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the letter.
Because I just essentially reprinted the argument I made to the
our
branch.
Our Committee of Appeals chair accepted.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep. The National
because
Committee.
Because they denied our president's...
So this is my final argument here, and then we'll get to what they said in response.
Yeah.
Members of the committee, I hope you have read enough to make an informed decision. The election committee has already heard all these arguments, and they agreed. The nominations needed to be redone. More importantly, our branch heard all these arguments, and they agreed. I have faith that you will respect the will of our branch. We have the opportunity to run a fair and honest election. We have the opportunity to fix our mistakes. Let's not just fix some of our mistakes. Let's fix all of them. I ask you to uphold Branch 2502's decision for a rerun of our election from the beginning. Second, I ask that you uphold Branch 2502's decision to enlist an outside observer from the National Business Agent's Office or from National to ensure a free and fair election. And then I have attached a whole bunch of documentary evidence. So that was my appeal to the Committee on Appeals. And to me, the biggest thing for the Committee on Appeals is if they're going to undo the branch's decision, like, they better have a damn good reason to overrule the will of the branch, because generally they're very deferential to the branch and they want the branch to, like, handle things on their own and so on.
And this was a major majority vote that
yeah,
they won.
Yeah, it wasn't
52
close.
To 51 or something.
Right, yes, 52-23 is a super majority
this is almost
of the branch.
By 30 votes. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's more than two-thirds.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Not unlike the supermajority, almost identical mathematically, to the supermajority that declined the tentative agreement.
Yeah, because you got to remember, our branch, the officers that we got there, the E-board, there's 13, 13 of them that's at the meeting every day, every meeting.
Right. And so we really went like 52 to 10, if you look at who was in the audience.
Nine.
Or exactly.
Okay.
52 to 23.
Yeah.
But either way, we smoked them in the audience.
If you take out 13, it was 10 people that was in the audience that voted for
them.
Dude,
and since that time, because that was our first big vote,
every
vote we've had, the active members at the meeting, including the executive board, because there's only have like one or two active members even on the executive board. Everybody else is retired. The active members have supported us every single vote. Okay. So now we get to the response from the Committee on Appeals. This is what we're going to hang our hat on. Here we go. This was mailed to our branch secretary, the goodest oldest boy, and we get a copy.
Oh, yeah. I believe they send this as an email too, so they should have gotten it before our general meeting last Wednesday.
They should have gotten it before the general meeting.
Yeah,
the general
somehow they forgot to tell that to us.
Yeah, isn't that wild how that works? Now
how
we can't.
It was for them.
Yeah, we can't prove that they had this in their hand before the meeting. But the meeting was what, April 5th, April 3rd.
But this was sent on 31st.
March 31st is when this is dated. Yeah, exactly. And we know it was sent by email.
Week.
Like 4 days.
I mean, our mail's kind of slow, but really?
Yeah, dude, isn't it? And even by certified mail, it still arrived before the meeting. Yeah, isn't that funny how this never got brought up at the meeting? What
I believe they did. And I think they were trying to, that's what they were trying to remove us from with the punishment in that meeting.
Oh, that may be. We haven't even talked about that.
Which we'll tell you in a bit.
Yeah,
after
we'll talk
we
about
this letter.
Yeah, maybe in the next episode.
Yeah.
We'll
see. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, next episode, maybe.
Right. Okay. So, appeal number 9, Michael Brazenly, Jonathan Munoz, and Alan Gigax. In accordance with Article 11, Section 4 of the Constitution, and this is written by James Henry, the chair of the Committee on Appeals. In accordance with Article 11, Section 4 of the Constitution, you got some?
Oh, no, it's the other two members. One of them is Nicole Ryan, if you saw that one, because you were talking about her earlier.
So. Yep, and then the third one is Larry Brown Jr., who is a trustee. Sure.
He's a trustee.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
him. I don't know much about him either.
No. Yeah. Okay, in accordance with the blah, blah, blah rules, all right, Branch 2502 has decided to rerun its 2024 officer election. The sole issue in this appeal is whether that rerun should include new nominations. Michael Brazenly, Jonathan Munoz, and Alan Gygax were unsuccessful candidates in the 2024 branch election. Hey, does he really have to call that out? You know, come on, that stings a little bit. But it's all right. All right, I'm going to let that go. It's true. We were unsuccessful candidates.
Because somebody, met, you know.
Yeah. Kinda... Maybe that just shows our standing. We have standing because we were harmed. Yes. Yep. Okay. On November 7th, they filed an appeal with the Branch Election Committee seeking to have the election, including nominations, rerun. As relevant here, their appeal challenged the adequacy of the Notice of Nominations and Election of Branch Officers, which was published in the Nevada State Association of Letter Carriers newsletter, The Nevada Carrier, and which did not include a statement that certain officers would be convention delegates by virtue of their office. On November 13th, the Election Committee issued a decision to rerun the election, including nominations. That decision was appealed to the branch's executive board by Redacted, the branch's president. At a meeting on November 27th, the executive board sustained a motion to rerun the election, but not nominations. On December 2nd, a few other people and brother Alan Gygax appealed the executive board's decision not to rerun nominations. Brother Gygax presented the appeals to the membership of the branch's meeting on January 9th, 2025. The branch voted in favor of a motion to rerun the election, including nominations. And we're now on the last page. This one's a lot shorter. At the February 5th branch meeting, four appeals from the branch's January 9th decision were read into the record. Those appeals were from other good old boys who are executives in our branch. And let's see. Okay, and then Brother Redacted, the branch president, who had originally appealed from the election committee's decision, submitted a response on behalf of the branch. In addition, Brother Gygax submitted to us his own written response to the appeal. So this is extremely satisfying for me.
Well, read the next part.
I will. Okay. I'm about to. Because they note that they got a reply from the president, Redacted, and from me. This is my favorite part of the whole letter. At the outset, we note that it was not appropriate for Brother Peterman to prepare the branch's response to the appeal insofar as he was on the same side of the present dispute as the appellants. As President Renfro noted in previous correspondence, because this is when I had to get a presidential ruling from Renfro over this, as President Renfro noted in previous correspondence, if the branch president supports the appeal, then he cannot prepare the branch's reply. The reply must be prepared by a member who supports the branch's decision. And this is the fucking argument that I made, that we all made, that how the hell can he write the branch's reply? This is horseshit. And it turns out.
And Ellen was angry about it. And I told Ellen, okay, we need to send one.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's why Ellen wrote that.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Accordingly, all right, moving on with the decision. Accordingly, for purposes of our decision, we treat Brother Gygax's February 24th submission to us as the branch's response to the appeal and consider the two arguments raised in Brothers Brazenly, Munoz, and Gygax's November 7th appeal to the election, which Brother Gygax repeats in his February 24th submission. So this is what's interesting to me. Because in the initial appeal to the election committee, we didn't know, because it had just kind of happened, about the person who got disqualified. And so that wasn't raised in the initial appeal. And so they don't actually consider that here. They only consider the other arguments. To me, I don't really understand why they do that, because there's no rule about, like, you can't introduce new arguments. It's not like Article 15, but whatever, it wound up not mattering. All right, so... we find the first argument supporting the branch's decision to be unpersuasive. Article 5, Section 4 of the election rules explicitly permits election notices to be placed in a state publication. We find that publication of the notice in the Nevada Carrier was legitimate and sufficiently prominent. The notice was consistent with the branch bylaws and longstanding past practice. There is no evidence that any member of the branch who would have sought nomination was prevented from doing so because of an inadequate notice of nominations. Okay, so here they've ruled that it can be on page 5 mm-hmm. and that that is not in violation. And that's true. It's a gray area. It is does not specifically violate
because
the rules.
Because of past practice.
Because of past practice.
And it's gray. Yeah.
If we had it to do over again, I would get statements from people saying that they never saw the nomination or the notice.
Right.
Because I guarantee you.
Oh, there was a lot of people who did not know this.
Yeah, had no idea that this was happening. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, live and learn. I can't fault the decision of the Committee on Appeals here because, again, the Department of Labor has not ruled on a specific issue.
And our bylaws need to be clarified.
They do. Yeah, that's what's really needed is clarification.
It says one thing. National says another thing.
Right.
It's not very
clear. Yeah. Like the election rules only give the options of mail it out, put it in your branch newsletter, or put it in the postal record. But then the Constitution gives the option of putting it in the state newsletter, and our bylaws give the option of putting it in the state newsletter, but don't give the process. And like,
and exactly how.
Yeah. And that's what makes it this gray area. Mm-hmm. And so I get that. Okay, they're not going to rule on this gray area. Fine. All right, we move on. With respect to the second argument, we agree that the election notice did not contain language stating that certain officers will be convention delegates by virtue of their office as required by Section 5.23 of the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures. While this deficiency in and of itself may not always require a rerun of nominations, here we defer to the decision of the membership, given what would otherwise be the vulnerability of officers to a potential challenge to their credentials as delegates at the 2026 National Convention. We conclude that it will be in the best interest of the branch and all affected parties to conduct new nominations preceded by a corrected notice of nominations. Therefore, it is the decision of the committee that this appeal must be, and hereby is, denied. Hell yeah.
The whole sentence says redo the whole thing.
Redo the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Dude, we did it.
Yeah.
So we still have to win the next election.
Yeah.
Right? There is that. But we will redo
nominations.
A lot
of campaigning the next 3-4 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And we don't know what the timetable is going to be because of this problem.
Since they didn't, I believe they got the letter before the last meeting.
Yeah, I think so too.
And didn't even talk about it. Yeah, and then we'll talk on the next episode about what other thing.
Yeah, the other thing that happened with our discipline.
Yeah.
Yep.
And but anyway, I think they knew that's the reason why they did that.
Yeah.
And
why they rescinded the discipline?
Well, no. I think that's why they were trying to take us
out. Oh, trying to do the discipline, right? Yeah. Because now the clock's ticking. We're going to do nominations.
Oh yeah, we got to take them out before we do the nominations again.
Right.
I think that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Okay. But I did some major fight on that.
Which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. So going forward,
we
don't know when the next election is going to be because now in theory they can put the notice in the Nevada Carrier without having a branch meeting.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
If our branch doesn't use a state newsletter. For nominations.
Right.
It coming up means next meeting we'll bring that up, but then we may put a motion in and say, hey, can we just put it as flyers to send it to everybody as a flyer?
Right. Why don't we just mail it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to make that motion. Yeah. And if we lose that motion, it's not
the
end of the world.
But if they already did it to the state, then there's nothing I can do.
Right.
But if they haven't done it yet, then that's what I would file that motion.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. So that'll be for the next meeting. And then we have the issue of, when is this, again, you know, when is it going
to
happen?
So it's got to be 45 days.
Right. The notification has to go out 45 days
before nominations. So if it happens in the next meeting, which will be in May.
Yep, the beginning of May.
45 days after that would be middle of June. So that means the nomination will be in July.
July, right. It'll be at the July meeting.
And then the following month after that will be the election, which will be in August.
Right. And then the results will be September.
No. The results is counting on that same
day. Oh, no, you're right.
Which will be in August.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They count the ballots
right.
while
you're
we
right.
all wait that at that general correct. Meeting.
Yeah,
so we could be there till 1 o'clock in the morning because they're counting.
Michael could be there till 1 o'clock in the morning.
And Alan could be passed out somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, it's more time in office for the good old boys, but it's still a victory. We close the door, Mike. Mm-hmm. It's still a victory, and we will take victories. You know, we're standing up to this system, and we're winning. And it's extremely satisfying. So
still a lot of work ahead, though.
There is still a lot of work ahead. So let's talk about the, because we're on this timing issue, our bylaws say when the election is supposed to happen. The bylaws say the election happens in November. It's so, October, and then it's results in
just
November.
Just to give some information, we have been sending emails, texts, and other means to the hall. Say, hey, when are we going to do this nomination thing?
Right.
And the only answer we've gotten is that there's so many things going that's confusing. And so the word, therefore, that we don't know what's going to happen. That's the only answer we've got.
Well, so there are complicating issues here, which I'm trying to get into, which is our bylaws say when the election is supposed to happen. And so as far as I know, from looking at a ton of presidential rulings, if you're going to do an election at a time other than indicated in your bylaws, you have to get special dispensation from the president. And so that has to be done before we can move forward. And then we have the additional question of, after the election results, how long is the term of office? Because the bylaws say that the term of office is 3 years. But it also says when the election is supposed to be. And so is this going to be a 3-year term and now we're off kilter every election going forward?
Actually, I would prefer that, actually.
I get it. I'd rather have it
in July, August.
Oh, yeah.
Than November, you're fighting with every other election.
Yeah, I agree with that. That would be nice. That would require a change to the bylaws, which I'm okay with. But I think that the more likely solution is going to be that whoever gets elected in this rerun is going to have a shortened term.
Which is kind of BS.
It is. If you don't like it, blame the good old boys who screwed up the election in the first place.
Right.
Yep. So that's where we are. And this stuff has to get resolved. And this stuff may cause fights again at the next meeting because you can be sure. I mean, maybe they'll surprise us, but the more likely path is that they will once again try to delay.
Say, oh, yeah, we can't do the re-election until we get to the final one.
Right. Convention. So to that note, I have the letter from President Renfro that addresses this very issue. Mm-hmm. Let me grab it. Nope, it's not this one. Is that what you have there?
No.
No, that's... Okay.
You
hold on a sec. Okay, so this is a letter that I got, a presidential ruling from Renfro. That says, in similar situations, the rulings have recognized that the branch may elect to defer the rerun election until the time to appeal to the National Committee has expired, or if an appeal is submitted, until the National Committee issues its decision. Accordingly, I have advised Brother Redacted that Branch 2502 may defer implementing its decision to hold new nominations until the Committee on Appeals issues its decision.
So...
that's it. It says nothing about the National Convention.
Yeah. So here's a funny thing. It literally what Brian our Renfro says is that the branch has to make a decision to defer.
Yes.
Which we never did.
No. The president.
Our branch president made his own decision unilaterally. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So he already broke that rule.
Right.
Okay.
And so this is a concern going forward because I'm going to push that obviously this is up to the branch. Dude, what if we walk in next month and it again is another nursing home?
See, here's where I look at it. He may bring in all the retirees and everything for the vote.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we're going to delay this till after the convention.
Right.
Until the convention decides.
Yep.
And may want to try to get that vote. Even though we have the rulings from
Renfro.
Renfro saying this is how
it's
supposed to be.
Lays out the timing, right.
And they're going to just change the ruling by the branch votes, but bring their own people, their friends. You know, and so this is what the problem is that whenever they want something, they want to play these games and change the rules of how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, this is another case of these self-serving interpretations of otherwise pretty clear rules.
And this is where we have a problem with the retirees because majority of the officers are retirees, so they get their friends from retirees to come into our meetings to vote for them, not knowing exactly what's going on.
Yeah, exactly, and not being really involved with it. And meanwhile, we have plenty of supporters who are still working when the meeting comes.
Because the meeting is at 7.
Yep.
I have a lot of carriers working until 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
They can come in to vote.
The other side of town.
And then if they try to make it, they lock up the doors, they can't even come in to vote.
That did happen, because we talked about in the when we went over the last meeting that we would have won that vote if carriers had gotten off work like 10 minutes earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they did show up. They just locked the door so that they know they couldn't vote. So we had about a dozen people waiting outside that couldn't vote.
I think it was 5, but either way, it turned on the amount of sick calls we had that day. And that's the advantage that the incumbents have. And this is what we're up against. And this is why it's so hard, like for our friends in New York to win, because they can't go into other stations. They can't network. They don't even have access to the retirees like
we don't either.
Officers have. Yeah, exactly. And this is why incumbents win again and again and again. And then they use the power of the gavel and make some bullshit ruling.
And then smack the gavel saying, it's over. You cannot...
And if you don't like it, file an appeal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the appeal takes 3 freaking months.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it's done, the issue's dead anyway.
Right.
And that's how they abuse their position.
Mm-hmm.
So, this
and,
one...
And that's the fight that a lot of carriers have to go through in multiple cities and towns.
Oh, all over the country.
And that is, I think, becoming a huge problem in our union.
I think it's been a huge problem for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now with the democratization of information, we're aware of it happening all over. Where it used to just feel isolated.
Okay. Because now with the classes of mail and you got the firm aid arbitration.
Yeah.
And you got...
so many others.
So many others.
Delivering solidarity.
And they're all we talk about. People are listening to. They're like, oh, man.
Hot house.
Yeah. And so it really is problems with our union.
It is. It is.
When you got these people whose incumbents have that much power to control the elections, it is not fair.
That is exactly right.
It is not fair at all.
No.
Okay. These are not a fair election.
Now, there are things that we can do. There are access. There are fairness mechanisms that we have access to that I think we need to try to make better use of going into the next election. And we'll talk about those at some other time. But regardless, even with those, the scales are still so sharply unbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think that covers it for today. That is our sweet, sweet victory.
Yep.
Chalk one up for the good guys. Chalk one up for the process.
And we still got a lot of work to do.
We still have a lot of work to do. Yep. All right, guys. So thank you very much for listening. And we will catch you next time.